kicked up and enjoying the fact that we have 9 days without a game, which will be a very enjoyable time to just kind of reset the batteries and then sprint to the finish after that. So for the time being, I will enjoy the time off and then get back at it.
So when you put your feet up, are you putting them up back home here in Lorain, or are you putting them up down in Columbus?
At this moment, I am in Columbus, but I'm actually coming up back to Lorain County here for the weekend, see some family, get a chance to be up there for a couple days, and then head back middle of next week. So I will be good to go after that.
Well, the Blue Jackets have been good to go as well. I mean, they've played some really good hockey of late. A couple of nights ago, took care of business in a 4-3 victory over Winnipeg. Jeff, let's begin there with your major takeaways in Wednesday night's victory over Winnipeg.
Yet another game where the Blue Jackets just found a way to win. That seems to be the thing about this team right now. Sometimes you're just around teams that they feel like no matter what happens, they're going to find a way to get the victory. You know, the adversity in a game doesn't bother them. They just they don't panic, they don't worry, they don't let anything get to them. They just stay on an even keel and find a way to win. And that's what the Blue Jackets did the other night. They were trailing three different times in that game to the Winnipeg Jets. They were down 1-0, 2-1, and then 3-2. Came back to tie it each time and then got the winning goal with about 5 minutes left to get the 4-3 victory. So that's kind of what's marked this streak of theirs. They've won 16 of the last 22 points and 20 of the last 22. 36 of the last possible 44 points in the standings they've gotten, which is a completely ridiculous mark if you think about it. And so they just find ways to win. Even if they've been down, even if they've been ahead, if they're playing a bad team, they're playing a good team, they just seem to figure out a way to do it. And so, if that's the kind of thing, I've been around teams when they have that, and, it can be fragile and you can lose it, but when it's going, you got to ride that wave as long as possible. And they've been able to ride it now for a whole quarter of the season, which is a pretty cool thing to see because it just doesn't happen very often in a sport like hockey where it's so random. And so many things can happen. So it's been a fun time to be around it, that's for sure.
Well, we mentioned earlier, you guys are enjoying an all-star break 9 days before the next game for the CBJ. Now, what can you tell us about the Blue Jackets all-stars, Korpisalo and Seth Jones? We'll come back around in just a minute to how Korpisalo found out that he made the all-star team. I thought that was kind of cool. But again, we'll come back to that in just a moment. But what can you tell us about these two guys and what makes them all-stars?
Yeah, well, Seth Jones is one of the best players in the National Hockey League. There's no one would really argue that. I don't think he's having his best season of late, and he would fully admit that, and his coach also has said that a few times. But, he's one of the best players in the league, but, there's no doubt about it. His pedigree is unmatched. He's a great athlete. He's a great skater. He's a great player going forward and defending in his own zone. He has the great genes, being the son of former NBA player Popeye Jones. So there's no doubt that physically he's got all the tools to be an all-star, but he also has become just one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League. He's in the top 10 of the Norris Trophy voting, which goes to the best defenseman in the league every year. The last 2 years he's been in the top 10. He might very well end up there again this year. The sky really is a ceiling for him. He was the top 5 pick a couple years ago. There was even talk he was going to be the number 1 overall pick in the year that he came out in his draft class. I believe that was 2013. And ended up being number 4 overall pick. But everyone has known for a long time that Seth Jones is a tremendously talented hockey player. And as he's gotten better and better over the years, he's worked himself into being one of the best players and best defensemen in the NHL. And he'll be in this 3-on-3 tournament that they have tomorrow night. That is the All-Star game. It's his third time he'll be in that. Fourth time he was named, but he was sick a couple years ago. And 3-on-3 is the perfect ability for him to kind of show off his speed, his shot, he's so big and takes up so much space and is so fast that when there's all that extra ice out there, he's great. So it'll be a real showcase for him, as it is usually every year when that All-Star game takes place tomorrow night. And then Jonas Korpisalo has been a player who really burst onto the scene this year. Has been a backup goalie for the last 4 seasons and never really had that chance to start. And then you lose a guy in free agency and suddenly it's Korpi's chance to kind of get the job and run with it. And he was outstanding for a 2-month span. He saved 92.6% of shots against him, really over a 22-game span, which is 2 months, and looked as good as you can look. It looked as good as any goalie in the National Hockey League in that time, and then ends up getting injured on December 29th, and unfortunately he will not be able to play in the game. But he still gets the honor of being called an all-star, and I think that he's fully deserved it because he's been, when he's been healthy, he's been one of the best goaltenders in the NHL for a pretty long span throughout the season.
And it was interesting the way he found out that he was going to be on the All-Star team. You shared that on social media earlier this week. So for our listening audience that maybe didn't get the opportunity to find out how Korpisalo found out he was on the All-Star team, how did this all go down?
It is quite a funny story, and he actually, we saw him on New Year's Eve, and he kind of told us this one, and then we circled back to kind of get it for the story. So he gets injured on December 29th. The next day he goes in to have his knee checked out, and you know they see that he has, I believe it's a torn meniscus, so they have to go in and do surgery, and the surgeon was there, surgeon had an opening, so he pretty much went under the knife immediately, and it just so happened that that day, December 30th, which was a Monday, was the day that the NHL released the All-Star teams. And so Korpisalo wakes up from a surgery, and you know anyone who's had surgery knows you're kind of out of it there for a little bit when the anesthesia wears off. And so you know, he's a little bit out of it, and finally they let him grab his phone, and he looks at it, and he's got about a bunch of text messages that all say congratulations. And he's like, how do all these people know I was having surgery? Were they all congratulating me on you know a successful surgery? You know, how did they even know that this was happening or that it was even a successful surgery? And then he kind of scrolls through enough that he realizes that he's an All-Star, and that was what all the congratulations were for, was everyone was saying congrats on making the All-Star team. So even though he knew at that point he probably wasn't going to get to play in the tournament or in the game that's coming up here this weekend, he knew that he, you know, we had the respect of his peers and the respect of everyone else in the NHL, and he said it was a great moment for him, even though it was a bad moment where he was facing it, where he's going to have to not be able to play for a month or a month and a half. The fact that he was named an All-Star was pretty cool to him and kind of lifted him up in a bad time. So it's kind of a funny story, and he's a great guy. Just to hear him tell it as well is kind of funny. He's a pretty funny guy from Finland and has a good way about him. So it was kind of neat to hear that story from him, and it seemed as though people could kind of relate to that story as well, just because in a moment that kind of stunk for him, it was also a chance to kind of realize that he'd reached some dreams. And so it was pretty cool that he was able to be boosted up by that in that situation.
We are being joined by Jess Svoboda, Columbus Blue Jackets insider here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. And, you know, it's almost as if this guy had nothing else going on. He was driving on into the radio station, and he just said, you know what? They're talking Blue Jackets hockey without me. How dare they? I thought I was flying solo from now until 6, but the great Matt Douglas has graced us with his presence here in studio to talk some Blue Jackets hockey along with Jess Svoboda. So, Mr. Douglas, how are you?
I'm doing very well. I heard the sweet voice, velvety tones of Jess Svoboda coming through the airwaves and said, I got to get back there. I got to talk to this guy. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. That's a question I'm sure you've already asked. But no, I wanted to bring this up. Somebody was talking about this the other day. One, I don't think the Blue Jackets are getting enough national attention with everything they've accomplished to this point. 6 straight wins going into the All-Star break. The myriad of points they've got through their last 40-some games. But how about defensive pairing? Zach Werenski and Seth Jones. I always remember looking at that back in the day. You had the Nashville Predators with Shea Weber and the other gentleman whose name escapes me right now, and Duncan Keith and Seabrook over there in Chicago. Is Seth Jones and Zach Werenski maybe the best defensive pairing in the NHL right now?
I'd have to look at some more numbers to feel if I want to say they're the best. I think they certainly are as talented as any group. They're also as good at providing offense as any defensive pairing in the NHL. And this is the interesting question is, when you're looking at, who's the best, pair of defensemen in the NHL, do you include, how much do they contribute to the offense? Are you talking about, are they just a shutdown pairing that keeps teams from scoring, which is, obviously what you're looking for in a defenseman? Or is it, some combination thereof? And I would say that if you're going to do some combination thereof, there's probably no better duo than Jones and Werenski as far as being good in their own end and preventing people from scoring and going up against the best players on the other team every night. I mean, they see the best every single night. That's how John Tortorella does it. He wants best on best. He's putting those guys out there against the best line for the other team, absolutely, every single time he can do that. And yet they still don't give up a bunch of goals. And then they also have the ability to chip in offensively, and Zach Werenski leads the NHL in goals for a blue liner. He's got 15 goals this year, among all defensemen. So, and Seth has 5 goals this year. Usually he's in the kind of 10 to 15 mark and maybe has the ability to even go higher. So he's not quite scoring goals like he was in years past, but he's still racking up assists. So they certainly have the ability to drive possession and drive the ability to create offense as well. So there's probably some pairs out there who are better at just, preventing goals. There's probably maybe a pair or two that might score more. But as far as the ability to do it in both ends, I'd say this is a pretty elite group. And they just set the tone. They get the team out of their own end. They just get going forward in a way that is just really unique among NHL defensemen. So that's kind of where I would put them. They still make some mistakes every once in a while, but they also do things that, you watch them play you take it almost for granted how good they are. And then you watch them, we were at Madison Square Garden on Sunday night, against the Rangers, and you kind of the press box there is in a really good spot to have a really good view of the ice. And, you know, the last, like, 10 minutes of that game, which was a tie game 1-1, you know, some of the things that Jones and Marinsky did just to get the puck out of their zone and not all, you know, not let the Blue Jackets allow a goal, was just like, man, these guys are good. There's no doubt about how good these guys are when you see them a little bit closer than I maybe get to see them on a regular basis. So that's what stands out to me, is just that high-level ability combined with the ability to do it going both ways.
I mean, going beyond those two, I mean, the entire defensive core for the Blue Jackets, and heck, you can throw the forwards into this, because you see Riley Nash going down and blocking shots on a night-to-night basis, and Gus Nyquist, who's still popping goals in, he'll make the defensive stops as well. That really seems to be the backbone for this Blue Jackets and what's got them running right now.
Yeah, it's defense. It's defense first. And head coach John Tortorella has tried to not exactly put it that way, because, you know, he still wants his guys to score, and he thinks there's more offense in this team. They're, I believe, 23rd right now in the NHL in goal scoring. And even during this run of 22 games, they've only averaged right around 3 goals per game, which is kind of in the middle of the pack. So they score, but they don't score like crazy, but they defend like crazy. They're second in the league in goals against. They've only given up 1.73 goals per game in the last 22 games. And in that span, that's more than half a goal better than anybody else in the NHL. I mean, they are way better than everyone else defensively over this little stretch. And so part of that's good goaltending. They've gotten not just good goaltending, they've gotten great goaltending. Part of that is forwards, you know, doing their part and, you know, not cheating and not getting too far up the ice and making sure they're playing responsible defensively. And then a big part of it is, yeah, they're six defensemen they're trotting out there on a regular basis are all really darn good. And they've got a couple more guys who are injured at the moment who you could even throw in that group. So, you know, it's a defensive identity. They're not saying don't go forward, but it's like, be smart about going forward. Don't put yourself in a situation where you're letting other teams really put a lot of pressure on us offensively with odd man rushes and 2-on-1s and 3-on-2s and chances like that. Take care of your own end first and then go forward. And we think we have enough talent that if we do it that way, we're going to score enough goals, and we're also going to, you know, keep up enough off the board that we're going to win games. And, you know, that's what they've done for the last month and a half. So you can't really argue with the way that the results have shaken out.
Of course, the backstops have been fantastic, even through injuries, and Jonas Korpisalo and all. And you had a pretty cool story about how the Jackets have found the pipeline to Latvia, which is where all these goaltenders are coming from in this organization.
No, I did have a story today about Latvia. It's Latvia and Finland, which is actually amazing. You know, of their top four goalies in the organization, two of them are from Finland and two of them are from Latvia. And if you could play these names in Scrabble, you'd get a lot of points, because it's Korpisalo, Merzlikin, Vevalainen, and Kivlenix. And so there's a lot of letters in there that would get you a lot of points. But yeah, from the Latvian connection, it is amazing, because before this season, there had only been 3 Latvian goaltenders in the history of the NHL. And now there's 2 of them on the same team right
Archie
now.
Archie Surbe played for the Jackets for a stint too, did he not?
What's that?
Archie Surbe, one of the Latvians before time. He was with the Blue Jackets for a very short stint, if I recall.
Yeah, he did not actually play in a game, but he was traded here before the lockout happened.
That's right.
So if there had not been a lockout, he would have played here. And then, you know, Elvis is back this year, and Matisse Kivlenix. And so it's crazy that, you know, that numerically, statistically, that almost sounds impossible, but, you know, it's happened here, and it's been fun. You know, as someone who's on social media quite often, it's been fun to watch, because suddenly on Twitter and on Instagram, you've got a lot of people with Latvian flags and their usernames who are liking and commenting on the things that you're posting. And so the story today, I kind of talked about the Latvian roots, and I actually talked to a couple people involved in hockey over in Latvia to see, you know, just how the reaction has been over there. And there's people waking up in the middle of the night to watch these games, because if a game starts at 7 in Columbus, it's starting at 2 a.m. in Latvia.
Wow.
So, you know, people are setting their alarm clocks. They're not even going to bed. They're staying up and watching. They're talking about it on the sports shows. They're talking about it on the websites. It's the kind of thing that has really taken that country by storm. And so it's really neat to see that these guys who grew up in a place that, you know, not a lot of people know a lot about have been able to come over here to Columbus, Ohio, and really, you know, not only be so good that they've caught Columbus's attention, they've caught the attention of half a world away. And so it's a really neat story, and they're two great guys. And so it's kind of fun how it's all worked out.
And then, of course, the skills challenge tonight, Jeff, I got to ask you, what event are you looking most forward to? And, man, after watching the tutorial on how you learned about the basics in the NHL from the Jackets coaching staff, maybe are we going to see you out there in St. Louis tonight?
I don't know if I would be able to do any of the events at a high level, I got to tell you. My hardest shot is not very hard. My fastest skater time is very poor. I don't think I would do very well in this event. But I think there's two new things this year that I'm actually intrigued by, both of them. One is the women's three-on-three tournament. You know, USA versus Canada, the top players from both the U.S. and Canada are playing against one another as part of All-Star Weekend. I think that's, you know, to grow the women's game, and it's something that I've been able to watch down here in Columbus with Ohio State having a women's hockey team. And the people who become Olympians play college hockey. And so Ohio State has had a number of players make it to the Olympics, both for U.S. and Canada and even Finland. And then, you know, the teams that come in, the Minnesotas and Wisconsins of the world, have players who are all going to become Olympians as well. And so, you know, we see it at a high level down here, and I've watched it over the years. And so I think it's kind of cool that they're getting the chance to do that on the big stage. But the most fun event will be the new thing they're doing where players will shooting pucks from the concourse over the crowd and onto targets on the ice. That just sounds like it's going to be a blast. The Penguins did a video with that like last year with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. And it was something that you watch it and you go, man, this is really cool. I wish we could do something like this here. Now they're doing it at the All-Star Game. And so that's going to be something to kind of see how that goes. You know, will they be good at it? Will they struggle? You know, who's going to be good at it? You know, is this the kind of thing that that can become a real piece of the NHL All-Star Game puzzle going forward? I think that's going to be a really fun event just to see how these guys do. And I'm sure they'll be trash-talking and having a good time with it. It'll be a real chance for them to show their personalities and do something different. So I think that's going to be a really cool addition.
And for sure, I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out tonight as well. And then do you have a prediction for who will win the All-Star games on, what is it, Sunday they play those?
It's Saturday is the All-Star tournament. I'd go with the Metro. That's the
All right.
I put, because a guy like Seth Jones is, you know, the Metro has some of the best forwards in the league. If you look at, you know, up and down, you know, Alexander Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby for years people have been watching here. So those guys, I don't believe, are in the tournament this year, but Ovi kind of backing off and Sidney having been hurt. But, you know, there's so much talent in this division. It's the best division in hockey. I think, like, of the top 12 teams in the NHL, six of them are in the Metro. And then you add in a guy like Seth Jones, who is a defenseman just built for this thing. I think the talent level on the Metro is going to be what gets them to win, which they did a year ago. So that, I stick with that prediction until I'm proven wrong.
All right, I like it.
Good stuff. Well, Jeff, as always, we appreciate the time. Enjoy the All-Star break, and we will speak with you again next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jeff. Again, that is Jeff.